God, this is the whitest purchase I've ever made.
Fucking oat milk.
Me and my oat. It's not even regular oat milk. It's like the barista, like, oh, creamer. So it's like double the price for half the product. It's made for suburban white people.
Yeah, I don't have the budget for that.
Yeah.
I did buy some almond milk recently because I like to make turmeric lattes.
Mm-hmm.
And it only tastes good in almond milk. I try it in regular milk and it tastes like shit.
It is different. I too have made those, and it definitely
they're supposed
is
to
different.
Be anti-inflammatory.
Yeah, no, dude. Yeah, listen. Every afternoon when I make my fucking flaxseed smoothie, I'm like, I hate this fucking flesh prison. I swear to God, what did I do free. Just to function? Yeah.
Speaking of flesh prisons, yesterday I hung out with friends, and I was like, "Have you heard of Randonautica?"
Oh God, did you guys do it?
No, I really wanted them to be like, oh, let's do it, but they weren't into it.
Oh. It's like that when you're the only weird kid in a room and you think people are going to be like, fuck yeah, and it's just like, no. And you're like, oh, okay, never mind. Fucking normies.
They aren't normies, though, which I was like, goddamn. Like, I'm just, apparently.
That was a cult leader in training failure. You should have been able to get them to do whatever you wanted.
Yeah, I need to up the charisma skills.
Clearly.
All right, let's get started.
Okay. It's like a parable in the like the phrase, like, just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Yes,
fully applies to Anaconda.
It really does. Welcome back to Sass versus Evil Dead, the podcast about movies so bad they're good. And this week, the movie is really bad.
Yeah.
I'm Brittany.
And I'm Hallie, or as my snake friends like to call me.
Oh my God, the shrieking.
Yeah.
It's worse than Eight-Legged Freaks. There's another Eight-Legged Freaks tie-in that we're going to do.
Oh yes, also, the voice of the snake is a credited actor. Who
For
also
real?
Voices Scooby-Doo and Fred. Same actor. I was like, holy shit.
Fucking Christ. I did not get that in my research. Thanks for that tidbit.
Someone
Hallie.
With a fucking SAG card is responsible for in this film.
Yes. So we are doing 1997's Anaconda, and I saw this in theaters when it came out.
No shit.
With my dad.
No.
Yes.
You gave money to this.
I did give money. It had a huge budget. It was $45 million. And my
shit.
Yeah, no, but that's mainly because it cost $100,000 per second for the CGI in this film.
Oh, it's not worth that.
It did not hold the test of time.
No, it does not.
Also, apparently this movie has four fucking sequels and a crossover.
Okay, that's interesting because at the end, and we'll get to it, but at the end they find all the little baby anacondas. I was like,
oh, the babies.
Yeah, I was like, man, they really set this up for the potential for more Anaconda movies and never did anything with it. Apparently, they sure fucking did.
Yeah, no, because I was like, I was looking at stuff on the wiki, and I was like, four sequels that I've
What's
never
What's the crossover with? Tell me it's Friday the 13th, Jason versus Anaconda.
It's Lake Placid.
Yes! We gotta do that one. That's gotta be on here.
Yeah, let's... Well, okay, so the thing is why you have never heard of these sequels is because only one was theatrically released. The rest were made for television.
Naturally.
Yeah. They were probably on the Sci-Fi Channel. I probably saw 100%. Them later on the decaying couch.
Yeah.
So, to get started with this movie, we have the most dramatic intro. We got, like, ridiculous, like, jungle music going on, and we have a, like, slow-scrolling intro, which, listeners, I took the time to type out so I could tell it to you.
Oh, read it, read it. You have it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Tales of monstrous man-eating anacondas have been recounted for centuries by tribespeople.
I'm just gonna do the score faintly in the background.
Okay, sounds good. Some of who are said to worship these giant snakes. Anacondas are among the most ferocious and enormous creatures on Earth. Growing in certain cases as long as 40 feet. Unique among snakes, they are not satisfied after eating a victim. They will regurgitate their prey in order to kill and eat again.
Just da-da-da. In time for the prey to wink.
Yeah! Yeah! We'll get to John Voight's wink later.
Yeah, let's talk just for a second before we launch into the heavily in air quotes plot about the score for this film, because
holy shit, it's horrible.
Every few seconds we just need to go da-da-da! Because whoever I was watching it, I was like, whoever did this score just really went for it. Like really went for it.
And, but also, like, there are times where the music really doesn't fit the movie. Like when they start out on their documentary, like it has like this sort of like, kids movie vibe. Like, we're about to go on an adventure!
Well, what this movie has is what many of the similar films in the 90s have, which is what I like to call Jurassic Parkification.
Yeah.
Where they really want to have, you know, they want to have that moment, and it's like, you're not good enough for this. But the person who did this score also did The Last of the Mohicans, which is like, okay, so you can do films.
You can do movie music, but just not here.
This movie is a case of a lot of people who have done other better shit, and I don't know how they got roped into this film. Like, before we start, let's remember that John Voight is an Academy Award winner and 4-time nominee, and he's in this movie.
But he's in this movie.
In which there are snakes in the river.
Gary.
Oh, God. Anyway, yeah, the score is A+.
The score is rough.
Yeah.
So the font we get in our opening credit scene, which leads us into our intro scene, to me, the font said Grindhouse movie more than creature film. But, like, that's, like, a different movie with snakes in the jungle.
Yes.
Very different.
Give this to Tarantino and then let me see it afterwards.
Yes!
Yeah.
Also, while the credits were rolling, I had the exact thought of, oh shit, I forgot Owen Wilson was in this shit.
I forgot everybody was in this. I was like, oh my god. First of all, I love that we went from Dougie Doug to Ice Cube. Like, it's like, must have mediocre, I don't know if he's mediocre really, mediocre rapper as a character in 90s / early 2000s.
It's
pseudo-horror films, I guess.
Well, I mean, think about it. Like, it is, though. Like, H2O.
Yep.
Yeah, like.
Oh, yeah. Oh, shit, yeah. Wait, is that Ice? Who is in H2O?
Who is in H2O?
It's not Ice Cube, because this is Ice Cube, correct?
Correct.
And it's not him.
Oh,
my God. Somebody look it up.
Okay, I'm going to Google it right
now. Okay, all right. Yeah, he's my favorite, like.
Of
those characters. He's my favorite. But I just really love H2O, which is not a hot take, but.
It isn't a hot take, because I don't think it stands the test of time, but if you.
It's my favorite in the Halloween franchise. Fun fact about me.
Fun fact.
Yeah.
What the fuck? I googled H2O cast and it came up with H2O just add water, which is
Oh, for the love of God.
By the way, folks, if you can't tell already, this show's not scripted either.
Yeah, we decided to let the script go by the wayside for this movie at least.
Yeah, it's fucking LL Cool J.
LL Cool J! Alright, there we go.
Yeah. So, We do have Ice Cube in this film, who, it does an okay job.
He's only in this movie because he had a single to promote. That's the only reason why he's in this movie is so he could be on the soundtrack.
Yeah.
It's just like the chick in 13 Ghosts, and at the end it's like, this is your song. Same exact thing happens.
Right. So, during the opening credits, we get, like, some shots of the jungle and, like, animal sounds. It really has, like, a Heart of Darkness mood.
Yeah.
Which, like, every
which
time
which is also incredibly racist, so anyway.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. In keeping with the film. Uh-huh. Speaking of incredibly racist, so every time I think of that, like, Heart of Darkness, what I think of is at Trader Joe's, and you can go to Trader Joe's, folks, and you'll find it. They have Heart of Darkness passion fruit juice.
Oh, no.
And I, like, well, the first time I saw that, I was like, who fucking greenlit this? Also, are they keeping, like, underpaid, like, overqualified English lit majors in the basement to, like, make their product names.
1,000%. And that person did not actually read Heart of Darkness. Yeah. So they were just like, yeah, I remember there was something kind of vaguely exotic about it. Let's slap it on this product. Yeah. Once again, when I think of Heart of Darkness, I think of Teen Wolf, the television show remake. So it rears its ugly head yet again.
Okay. You can tie that in to any movie we do. I'm fascinated. Yeah. So we get some shots of, like, the animals going crazy on this boat and some dude calling for help in Portuguese. And it's established something's coming after him.
Right.
He decides to board the door, which is
don't really know what that's going to accomplish, yeah, but okay.
And I, you know, the snakes don't have arms. They're not going to go through the door.
Yeah.
And so eventually he decides that he's going to climb to the top of one of the masts on his little boat.
Mm-hmm.
Which is also counterintuitive because it's not like, you know, snakes don't climb trees or anything.
These are anacondas, goddammit. You don't know what the fuck they're capable of.
I actually know a lot about anacondas after this because I googled anaconda facts.
Doesn't it make you feel old when you google any animal fact? Because it's like, facts for kids. Like, adults, please google things you don't understand. So it doesn't always just say me and children are the people googling shit.
Yeah. To my knowledge, they don't actually regurgitate so they can kill again, as the intro would lead us to believe. But their mating practices are pretty brutal.
That they're just trying to fuck, like, this whole movie.
Yeah, they just really, like, so the females let out, like, pheromones.
Yeah.
And it causes all the males to, like, go to the female, and they form a, like, cluster around the female, like a giant ball where they just, like, fight each other to fuck the lady.
Me and anacondas have this in common. I'm just kidding.
And also, apparently, females practice cannibalism. They'll eat the smaller males.
Well, I'm not going to go on record saying we also have that in common.
I was about to say.
Anyway.
Same, anaconda ladies. Same. Yeah. But back to our movie. I was expecting, because I remember nothing from this as a child, except that my dad hated this movie, which, fucking fair, dad.
Right. It's only for people who don't have any sort of level of discernment for taste.
No. And he just kills himself, because I was like, expecting, like, this is when we're going to see the anaconda. Woo. Nope. No, he just kills himself. No snake death. Really lame.
Part of the problem with this movie is that it takes entirely too long for us to start getting some snake deaths. way too long.
That's like a problem with creature films in general, though. Like, I watched a kaiju film yesterday with some friends, and we were like 45 minutes in before we even saw the monster.
Maybe that's why I'm not a huge fan. I don't know.
There are some good creature films.
Yeah.
Like, that do a better job at incorporating the creature earlier, but, like, I just feel like, especially, like, earlier films, it's just, like, just watch the last 20 minutes if you want to see the creature, like...
Yeah.
Yeah. Then we're gonna, like, move into the Meet Our Characters segment.
Yes.
We get a caption that we're at a hotel deep in the Amazon. And we meet Terry Flores, who is played by a young hot J-Lo.
Thank God.
And, like, good goddamn, like, I always thought the cover of Typo Negative's Bloody Kisses was my bi-awakening, but, like, maybe it was J-Lo's ass in this movie. Like,
yeah, for real.
Because, like, in that nightgown, like...
Yeah, there's some ass shadow.
There is a lot of ass shadow there.
As our friend teacher in high school used to describe... I don't know why she would do this to children, but used to describe women who are very curvy as their butt looked like two puppies in a pillowcase. And every time I see, like, a very curvy ass now, I'm like, two puppies in a pillowcase.
Which teacher was this? Tell me.
Miss Francis.
I was about to say, this has to be Miss Francis, because that sounds like something she would say.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, that's what I thought of.
It does look like two puppies in a pillowcase.
Yeah, it does.
So, we get some shots, she's, like, doing some research, and enter Dr. Kale, who looks like he just got back from expedition on road, like, to Rhodesia. Like,
I'd fuck him today. Like, right now.
Well, we'll get to who I would fuck.
Oh, yeah, we will. Oh, shit.
But, like, I was just, like, to add to, like, you know... the Heart of Darkness vibes. I'm like, why did we have to go for, like, British colonial dress in 1997? Yep. The costume department was like, that's okay.
Looked like they strolled off the fucking Jumanji remake.
Yeah. And it's established that they're looking for a lost tribe.
God.
Because we can still fetishize that in the late 90s. It's cool.
I feel like as the indigenous person on the podcast, I just have to say, fuck white people. Let's move on. But yeah, please don't do this for the love of God.
No.
J-Lo and Ice-T, y'all should have known better. I can't really hold the other people accountable, but my people of color should have known better.
Yeah. Also, people still, like... just the tourism industry and the Amazon is just like a bunch of white people trying to go trip ayahuasca. Like, it's bad.
Oh my lord. That's why movies like Green Inferno exist, ladies and gentlemen, which I have never gotten through because I don't like gore. If you don't like gore, don't even try it. But yeah.
Anyway, the guy who plays Dr. Kale actually went on to direct Glee episodes.
Isn't he also in Deep Blue Sea?
I think so. He has a very familiar face.
He had, like, a moment during this time period and then apparently just went on to, like, cosplay Kennedy Brothers and direct Glee episodes.
And he's really playing up the fucking I'm an explorer bit because he's like... Yep. I just got attacked by some piranhas.
Yeah. Barely escaped with my life and my dick.
I just, like, fucking hate him so much. I know, like, you would fuck him because he's, like, standard white boy.
Insufferable white man. Just put him on my plate. All the insufferable white men.
So then we get a shot of our ship, which is called the Michaela 1?
I didn't even know it had a name. I was just like, this thing is not a legal watercraft. Like,
it does not look like it's safe at all. Also, I just was like, God, like, Michaela is such an obnoxious name.
I can't think of anyone named Michaela who I like.
Yeah, no, I've never met a Michaela that I've enjoyed their company. No. If there's any Michaelas out there, maybe you could prove us wrong.
Leave us a 5-star review to redeem your name.
Yes. On Apple Podcasts. We'll take back we'll recant our statement.
Mm-hmm.
And then it is established that Ice Cube and J-Lo's character are friends. Like, they go way back. to South Carolina, apparently.
I like their relationship.
I do too. Like, yeah. it's the only redeemable, like, character arc in this movie.
Yeah, I'm glad they're the two that get out.
Yeah, same. And, they're, like, the only two characters who have, like, some personality. I don't know. None of these characters really have strong personalities. They're just a bunch of tropes on a boat.
Tropes on a boat! Yes! That is a better title for this movie.
Yes! That was the sequel's name, actually.
Yeah.
Tropes on a boat. Anyway, Ice Cube starts giving J-Lo some shit because he's like, oh, I see you're making this a pleasure cruise with Dr. Kale on board. So, like, clearly they've had a thing going, and we'll get that very much established later with a very cringeworthy conversation. And they get on the boat and meet Mateo, and we're just gonna establish that I would fuck the shit out of Mateo.
I would like to call him Matei. No.
I know he's not your type, but, like,
no.
God damn it. Like, the look that he gives J-Lo when they first get on the boat, I was just like, can I just have that on loop?
Like, oh my god, it makes my skin crawl!
I don't care. Like, after this, I was like, where did, like, this obsession, like, start with kind of, like, schmarmy, like...
scraggly, slightly dirty dudes.
Yeah, like, kind of Mediterranean looking. And I think it's because I was obsessed with pirates as a child.
Like, yeah, he's very piratey.
He's very piratey, and, like, as a child, instead of being like, I'm a princess and my prince is gonna come save me, I was like, I'm going to find a pirate, and then we're going to go, like, pirate together.
Well, this is your chance.
I know.
Tropes on a boat.
Get on tropes on a boat, and we can go get some snakes.
If you had to fulfill a trope in this movie, what would you choose for your character? If you have to be a tropey character, what are you going to be? I would totally be
What trope do you think I would be?
Oh, I don't know what you would be, but I would definitely be the, person with the mysterious dark past, leaves everything behind to find a new life, but oops, something's wrong in this new version of reality.
I like that trope. Yeah. I'd probably be that, but a little more sexualized. Yeah. We also meet our resident British dude trope, who is so fucking British. He comes carrying his... somebody is carrying his trunks.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, be careful with my Bordeaux!
Bloody hell!
Bloody hell! That flight was awful!
Jake was like, I wish this guy was played by Nick Cage and this would be a better movie. Honestly, replace any of the characters with Nick Cage, and it's a better movie.
Oh, God, I want to see Nick Cage as Cerrone.
Same.
That would be fucking great. I'd love that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we meet Carrie, and I don't remember Owen Wilson's character, but Carrie,
Gary. His name's Gary.
Oh, Carrie and Gary.
Carrie and Gary.
Fuck, it is trips on a boat. And Carrie is actually Sam and Eight-Legged Freaks, because I was looking at her and I was like, why the fuck does she look familiar? And I was like, oh, shit! It's our sheriff from Eight-Legged Freaks. That was not planned in our schedule.
That's happened a couple times on the podcast, and I have to say, I kind of have some respect for actors who just kind of look around and realize, you know what, I did go into this to become Academy Award-winning actor John Voight, but if I only have the opportunity to be in really fun, really shitty creature features, I'm just really going to ride that thing till
I'm
the wheels
just
fall off.
Take it,
And she does it. So
she does.
There you go.
Yeah. And they take off, but not before Dr. Kale is like, pray you didn't forget your bug spray.
Yeah, that's actually so true. Also, I always forget that there was a time when we didn't have drones until I see these movies, and it's like shaky, shitty helicopter shit. I was like, oh man, thank God for drones.
I feel the bug spray line, though, because it's getting to be that time in Memphis where I just, like, get, like, bug bites on my legs because they come through my like, shittily placed window air conditioner units. Yeah. There's, like, a little crack that they can squeeze through and bite my legs. Ugh. So they're starting to film this documentary. It's established that our British dude is like discount David Attenborough, because he's like, we're here in the Amazon looking for the people of the mist, the Shiri Shama.
I thought that that was a shitty voiceover, and then they like cut to the shot of him saying it into the camera. I was like, okay, this is a little bit more defensible, but for a minute there I was like, oh no, they didn't really do this, did they?
Oh no.
Yeah.
It is also established while we're getting our like, oh, they're shooting their film, that Carrie and Gary have the hots for each other.
He's like, is it just me, or does being on a barely defensible boat make you horny? He's like, because I only have one thing on my mind, and I was like, that's appropriate to say to your coworker.
Right? Like, doesn't the jungle just make you horny?
It's like, no, it makes me itchy because I forgot my fucking bug spray.
Yeah, like, it makes me really overheated because I have a heat intolerance.
Yeah.
And I, like, this was made for, like, the northern hemisphere.
Cooler climes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes me really sunburned.
Yeah.
Then, it's storming.
What was that?
That's my thunderclap.
Okay, thank
Shut
you.
Shut the fuck up!
I just wanted to pause and acknowledge it, that's all.
And this is when we meet John Voight, because of course it's gonna happen in the storm.
Naturally.
And he's just like, help me! My boat! I'm stranded!
I have a vaguely Peruvian accent, and I'm confused.
Is he from Paraguay?
Oh, whatever! Fuck off!
You just make fun of Missouri. My clap, so...
I mean, fuck off to this film, not to you. Nobody knows where Paraguay is.
Once he gets on the boat, he's like, thank the Lord, because as we will see throughout this film, there's this horrible half-assed priest tie-in with him.
Why? I don't understand.
I love that they just make Dr. Resteridge so fucking British, because when he gets on the boat, he's just like sipping his tea.
Uh-huh.
And then just goes back in his cabin.
Yeah. Whenever they were later on, they're saying, like, the things they want to go back to in civilization, I thought he was going to be like, a good cup of English breakfast.
I want some fucking crumpets, goddammit.
Crumpets and colonialism.
Also, like, I don't know what it is about this actor. I actually, like, Googled to see if he did the voice, but he has strong, like, Judge Claude Frollo vibes.
I don't know who that is, but he's also in Jumanji, so they just saw him and were like, yes, you have this vibe.
Claude Frollo is from Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Yeah, I don't know who that is. I haven't seen that in many years.
Okay.
See the bad guy?
Yeah, he has the best fucking Disney villain song there is, Hallie.
Fuck Disney Channel, okay? No, I'm not one of these Disney people. My family are, like, Disney people. My cousin works at Disney. And I'm like, if you are a grown fucking adult, like, can't wait to get my ears from Etsy! Like, something is wrong with you. Find something else to do.
Yeah, I'm not that much of a Disney person. But, like, just like listen to Hellfire, which is Claude Frollo's villain song. It's fucking heavy for a kid's
is
song.
It?
Yeah, it's like, I have lust for this woman, and if I can't fuck her, I'm gonna kill her.
Ooh.
Yeah!
That's a little too real, Disney. It's
fucking epic. Like, I will put that on sometimes, because it's just a good song. Enough about Disney. Mateo and John Voight have a stare-off once they get on, you know, he gets on the boat, and I just want to look at Mateo the whole time.
Okay. So I'm processing my thoughts about Mateo and John Voight there, because they're quite a pair. I feel like, are they supposed to, like, be each other's, like, partner because they both have weird, vaguely Paraguayan accents? Like,
and I don't know if this was just my subtitles or this was purposeful, but, like, Mateo, according to my subtitles, like, speaks Spanish, French, and Portuguese, adding to the pirate motif here.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, I don't know.
I want a supercut of all the times John Voight just like, Mateo! Mateo!
Mateo!
Like, he's just constantly yelling for him for the rest of the until he dies, which is not that far in the distance.
It's not. Mateo is not long for this world, unfortunately. No. I'd fuck him with the fucking cigarette hanging out of his mouth.
Yeah, that's your vibe for sure.
Anyway, we're getting introduced to Paul Cerrone, who stabs a fish in the river, brings it out, and is like, fish, river style.
Remember how I said I kind of like toxic masculinity? This is where I draw the line.
Yeah?
right at this guy.
Okay. See, I thought you would actually be like Team Mateo because he has some muscles.
You deal with too many microscopes in your life, girl. Itty bitty. He has muscles in the same way my husband has muscles. And we all know that Jacob does have muscles, but he's a little tiny guy, okay? He's a little tiny.
I like little tiny muscles. Whatever. Anyway.
He'd be raggedy.
Paul Cerrone is giving his whole life story to these people. Mm-hmm. He was like, I was born in Paraguay. I was going to be a priest, but that didn't work out.
I grew up to be a Trump supporter, and my daughter doesn't speak to me anyway.
I ended up in the jungle. It seemed to fit. It's like the actual quote. Made me laugh. That is like redeemable line that John Voight has in this movie.
Say what you want about his performance, but I feel like, you know, he's inhabiting it. Like, he's like, you know, in the character as much as he can be.
In the character, yeah. He then is like, oh, so you're searching for the Shireshama. I know where they are.
I have seen them.
I have seen them. I know where they live. But to which British guy is like, so slows every other river rat after 5 whiskeys in Manas. Come on, lovey.
And doesn't he say, like, that is just breakfast on the river?
Yeah.
That's literally what he sounds like, by the way. We're not exaggerating it.
Yeah, we are not trying. Yeah, it's just a very bad accent.
Yes.
Then cut to Carrie dancing to some reggae, unfortunately.
White people, stop dancing. Please, just when in doubt, please don't. If it's only other white people around you, just go nuts. But if there are any people of color there to judge you at all, please don't, okay? Just do us all a favor.
She's grooving to Miss Tipsy Daisy.
Ooh.
I wrote down the song name because I was like, oof, this is bad.
One of 3 songs on the soundtrack. The other 2 are Ice Cube.
And cut to Dr. Kale and J-Lo on the deck. And oh my fucking god, the conversation that follows is so fucking terrible.
They're like, you see these fireflies, you know what I'm saying? Like, so, they flash when they like to fuck.
Yeah! But, like, it's delivered. He's like, Jayla's like, wow, it's beautiful. And he's like, yes, fireflies, family, your Bripa Dias, or whatever the fuck it's.
Yeah.
Yeah. They signal when they want to mate.
Uh-huh.
The females have feminine, dainty flashes, and the males go back with prolonged, masculine flashes. And I was just like, fucking, this is terrible. How are you gonna, like, insert your horrible misogynies on this, these fucking fireflies?
Heteronormativity seeps into everything like lead from a pipe, I swear to God.
It really does. Also, this gave me flashbacks to a poem that got submitted to one of the lit mags I edited.
Was it like a student, like a college lit yes. mag thing? Oh, so, those are fun. I've seen some of these.
I miss those days because I could be like just a cunt about it with my other editors. But this poem was like, when I see the fireflies looking for a mate, I wonder, who will I date?
Oh.
Oh.
No one with any luck.
No one.
No procreation from you, please.
It was real bad. I don't know if these two have been just, like, merged together, if it was the same poem, but I also, like, there was another poem that was, like, I'm a nerdy girl, you see, and there's a nerdy boy waiting for me, and it had, like, an All Your Base reference in it. It was like,
oh, no.
Yeah. I don't know if those are the same poem, or they, like,
it's an amalgam that, now.
Yeah, it's just, like, all mixed together in all the bad poems I've had to read. I also, at another lit mag, got a Nightmare Before Christmas love poem. And a poem that compared love to a fountain drink machine.
My favorite college poetry moment was we had like an open mic thing, and everybody was like dead serious, like delivering. You could either read obviously your own work or someone else's work, and people were like very earnest. And then someone who I am now friends with, but was not friends with until this moment, got up and was like, "Cut my life into pieces. This is my last resort." Suffocation, no breathing. So I was like, and he read the lyrics as a poem, and I was like, what the fuck is that? It was great. It was one of the best
moments.
That's
wonderful. I love it. That's energy that I like.
Yep.
Anyway.
Back to the fireflies who want to fuck.
Back to the fireflies who want to fuck. J-Lo is like, I like that. No misunderstandings, no flirting, just pure instinct and nature. Which, you know, she's just like, let's fuck, yeah, Dr.
Why doesn't she just look over and be like, that's great, I would like to fuck you. So, yeah. Is this a yes or a no?
Like, it would be better if she turned to him and was like, alright, like, just takes off her top.
Yeah, or like, she's not wearing
fancy flashes.
She's not wearing a bra for the majority of this movie, so she could just, like, just angle it correctly. He's already noticed, honey. Like, he trusts me.
You see these nips?
For real.
But the romance is cut short by our slithery friend, who, we just get a shot of him killing a motherfucking panther for some And like, also, you would think, I wish that, like, they had cut to the boat because of the panthers, like, rah, rah! Like, making some noise, and, like, I don't know. This just serves to be like, oh my god, there's anacondas in a movie about anacondas.
And they eat big shit.
By the way, the only snake known to have eaten a human in the wild is a reticulated python.
Oh, cool.
Facts. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Not anacondas. I was very disappointed when I learned that as a child.
You wish they ate people? You want them to eat people?
Moving on!
You guys couldn't see the shifty eyes as she was deciding what she should reveal. Anyway.
Alright, so, tensions are going... happen between John Voight and Young Proth in our next sequence. Paul Cerone is like, we're getting closer, just around the river. The river bend. and they come up to a snake totem, which...
It's cool looking.
It's cool looking, but I was just like, all right, you know, just cool. And John Voight is recounting this legend of the Shiri Shama about a waterfall and warrior snakes, and you know, once you pass the waterfall, you'll find the people of the mist. And to which Dr. Kale has some you energy, Hallie, and is like, it's a lovely legend, but I believe that's of the Maku.
I would absolutely do that. I absolutely am the well actually of people.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
And it's established that there's tension between the two. Ooh, what's gonna happen? We'll see.
Yeah.
Then Carrie and Gary, who I still can't get over, have fucking rhyming names.
Yeah.
Go out to get some wild sound. in a not so thinly veiled. Well, a very thinly veiled euphemism.
I would never fuck in the rainforest. Like, there's so many bugs. I feel like I've seen way too many episodes of Naked and Afraid where, like, something is going to crawl into your vagina that you do not want to be there, and it's not going to be Gary.
It's not going to be Gary.
No.
It's going to be a big spider in your vag.
Yeah. Eight-Legged Freaks prequel.
Right. Apparently, snakes also follow the, like, murder people who fuck rule. Oh, wait, no, it wasn't. It was a boar in this scene. Yeah. Boars do, apparently. But John Voight shoots it and, you know, is like, Mateo, cut this up. It'll be
This is like the first time he's cracking the whip on Mateo. It's like, what the fuck? Why does Mateo have to listen to you, John Voight?
I want to see this movie where Mateo takes over. I just want more Mateo.
That'd be a swashbuckling adventure.
There'd be more songs, but they'd be sea shanties.
Yeah.
So then, next day, somehow the rope gets tangled in the motors, and Young Prof is like, don't worry, I got this. I'm not scared of snakes, but I am scared of the Karindun Aku, however you fucking pronounce that, which is a small catfish that climbs up your urethra. And
then lodges itself in there and gets stuck.
Yeah, that's actually not a common occurrence. I Googled it.
I would imagine it's not, yeah.
For the purposes of this movie, he's just like, he makes it seem like this just happens every day. Mm-hmm. To which Ice Cube is just like, I'm done with this. I don't want a snake up my dick. Or a fish up my dick.
I'm only here to promote a single, so I want nothing to do with this.
Right, have we gotten, like, is it... Here, did it happen before or after this scene where we get, like, him playing the music and extremely British dude doing golf?
I think it's before.
This horrible racket.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Ice Cube is just like, listen to my new single! It's actually a song he wrote. It was a different rapper, but it is a song he wrote.
Oh, I thought it was him.
Yeah. And we get some creepy John Voight faces as our young prof goes into the water.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly, like, he's, you know, undoing the rope, and suddenly he's drowning.
Yeah, it was interesting.
Ice Cube to the rescue. J-Lo's freaking out, like, no!
Kate! I love how they're, like, they're swimming over
sorry,
to him.
Dr. Gale.
Yeah, they're all interchangeable.
Whatever.
But they're, like, swimming over to him, and they're, like, fully 5 feet away from him still, and she's like, is he all right? Is he breathing? It's like, they're not there, honey. You gotta wait a second. Jesus.
Yeah. And he gets on the boat, and he is not breathing. To which John Voight gets a pin, and it's Amazon trach tube time.
Yep.
This is honestly, like, the most disturbing thing in this film, when they cut open his throat and, like, stick in the, like, little plastic pin part. That is not sterile at all. Plus, if he was having an anaphylactic reaction, he would need some epinephrine.
I love, too, they take out the wasp out of his throat that has, you know, supposedly, I guess it was
Mateo's
somehow,
like, a wasp.
It was like, a wasp. I love how we're led to believe that, like, the wasp was inside the oxygen tank somehow, and
I think it was
alive
in his mask.
Oh, I thought it was, like, in the tank and then, like, got, like, sucked up in there. But nobody, like, they're like, he's not breathing, and they automatically go to trach and not, like, CPR. Like, hello, I don't think this is, like, the order of escalation here.
It's not.
Yeah.
But also, like, oh, God, it's just, this was terrifying to me because it's like, oh, it's not sterile. You just put your mouth on the pin and then stuck it in his throat.
And John Voight is like, he is going to be fine. And I was like, I don't think you can promise that, John Voight.
I don't think that is a promise you can make.
He don't look good.
So at this point, John Voight / Paul Ceron takes over the boat, essentially. Mm-hmm. And is like, well, we could go this way, or we could double back and save 2 days, to which J-Lo is like, but isn't this the route you wanted us to go yesterday that we didn't do?
He's like, yes, for a different reason.
Yeah, he's in, no, don't worry about that.
Yeah.
And so they do this, and then they get to this riverbend, and there's a giant dam. To which, like, J-Lo is like, this is the river, you know? And he says, no, this is new.
Yeah, it's like, okay.
And, like, there's some, like, disagreement about, like, what they should do. Should they turn back?
They give all of 5 seconds of consideration to, like, J-Lo's like, we're gonna disrupt the entire ecological infrastructure here if we remove this and, you know, merge these two waterways or whatever. And then it takes about 3 seconds for the white guy to be like, just blow it up, goddammit! Who gives a fuck about the Earth?
British dude is like, just blow the bloody thing up!
Yeah.
They send Owen Wilson out into the water with some dynamite, which he has in the water. And I was like, wouldn't that make it ineffective?
Is it like gunpowder where if it gets wet, like, you can't, it doesn't work?
I was like, I didn't Google that, but I was like,
I don't know.
I was like, it just doesn't seem like
conducive. Well, like, how are you going to light it if it's fucking wet? Yeah.
Right. Like, even just, like, the wick, like, yeah.
Right.
And there is a big explosion, and oh shit, there's snakes, or as John Voight would say, babies. All of them babies.
Go home to your mommy, and he's, like, throwing them into the water.
Ooh, yucky. Like, that would be my reaction, I'd be like, oh, little babies!
Ooh, I'm not, like, scared of snakes like a lot of people, but I don't want them raining down upon me. I'd be like, oh, God, get me the fuck out of here.
I don't know. I think I'd be okay with, like, braining snakes. It sounds pretty metal, honestly.
Yeah, no, it does.
Depends on the type of snakes.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, I have in my notes, none of these characters have a personality. Because, like, I just... At this point, we were, like, how far into the movie? And I was just like, I don't care about any of these fuckers. Like,
I think we were 45 minutes in because I paused it and there were 45 minutes left. I was like, oh my god, I'm only halfway? Yeah.
Yeah. So, back to the boat. They're boating about. They see another boat. And Jean Voight, Mateo, and Ice Cube go out in search for fuel.
Because they've lost their fuel, by the way. There was like a... Didn't it, when the wall exploded, like all their fuel dumped into the river? Which also is going to fuck up the river!
Yeah. They don't care. They totally have destroyed this climate, this little ecosystem here. But Jon Voight does not give a fuck.
No.
Because we go to this boat. It's established that it's the boat from... like the intro scene, because there's the same newspaper clip of, you know, Mateo and Paul Cerrone holding a big old snake. They don't go to get fuel, they just go get a box, to which Ice Cube is like, what the why are we getting this box?
Yeah.
And Jon Voight in his horrible accent goes, treasures.
why
it's so bad.
Well, we know why later, as he will say, it could be $1 million, Gary.
$1 million.
Oh Jesus,
you know how much money we'd get if we got this snake, Gary.
$1 million.
So Ice Cube, Jon Voight headed back to the boat. Mateo, however, is lagging behind, unfortunately, slips. And this is when we get our first snake death.
You know what I love?
Unfortunately for me.
I love that he's getting into the water anyway, but we're led to believe that he just gets into the water incorrectly.
Right.
Because he slips instead of goes in intentionally, and that's what leads to his death. I was like, but he was getting in anyway. Why did we have to? Why is there a staged fall here? I just noticed that. I was like, that's dumb.
It's this movie. That's why.
Yeah. He gets like face slant to, or like comes at him. He's like whipping his hair around and shit.
Yeah. Poor Mateo.
He did.
He did.
Yep.
So they get on the boat. And I honestly don't remember the series of events that happen here, but eventually, Jon Voight whips out a giant snake skin.
Yep.
To which Ice Cube says, is snakes out there this big?
You're like, yes! Apparently!
Apparently! And J-Lo's like, snakes don't eat people! Which, you know, technically she's right. They don't, unless it's a reticulated python. But in this movie, they do, as we have seen.
I wanted Samuel L. Jackson to stroll out and just be like, it's these monkey fighting snakes on this Monday to Friday boat. Like,
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
And, you know... At this point, like, Jon Voight is, like, you know, getting super strong Captain Ahab meets Kurtz vibes.
Yeah, he's just no longer hiding what he's truly after here.
Yeah, which is, like, I just want these goddamn snakes. Like, this is what we're after. We're gonna get this snake.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, as you mentioned, he looks at Gary and is like, it would be $1 million, Gary. Gary decides to side with, like, crazy Captain Ahab.
Yeah, he doesn't have enough consciousness to be like, you know, Jon Voight, that's a really nebulous amount of money, and I don't think that you're really sane, so maybe I'm gonna not do what you say. I love, too, Ice Cube is like, when did it turn from taking Cole to the hospital to hunting a giant snake? Like, when did this movie converge?
When did this happen? Because, like, there's this moment where it's, like, the defying takeover of John Voight's character, but not before we get a shot of him pulling up reptile tranquilizer and killing a monkey.
Yeah.
Killing the monkey wasn't hilarious, but the reptiles.
Well, the monkey was hilarious because it's very obviously a doll that he fishes out of the water. But no, I loved it. It just said reptile tranquilizer.
Yeah. Owen Wilson gives a speech about how he's like, look, I'm completely lucid. I think it makes sense to side with this guy that we picked up on a boat in the middle of the storm. And, kind of seems dubious. We've lost our captain since he's got on board. But I am completely sane and I'm making this decision because I'm a horrible person who is only driven by money.
I love, too, that everybody's listening to it and Ice Cube goes to, like, take off his lanyard. He's like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm going to push both of you into the river. which is a great reaction.
Yeah. Also, like, he turns to Westeridge, or as we've been calling him, Super British Dude, and is like, take this upstairs. And he's like, how dare you presume I would do that? And he just, like, then slaps the shit out of him.
Yeah.
And then Westeridge is like, oh, okay, I'll get right to it.
Yeah, he instantly is like, yes, yes.
and then it's here. You had to get through, like, almost an hour of this movie to get to it. Mm-hmm. But we get an Anaconda showdown that night. Yep. John Voight is, like, fishing for the Anaconda.
Yep.
We see it in the water, and then it comes out. Just imagine somebody in the studio and they were like, and they're like, I'm sorry, that wasn't screechy enough. Could you,
you're like, okay,
could you like raise it up an octave? Thanks, I loved your work in Scooby-Doo. You're doing a great job. And it really is like Ahab in the jungle vibes, because he's like, yes. I will get you. Buenas noches, beautiful.
He does say that.
And at some point, because the snake is like flailing about, it goes to J-Lo, which in this whole movie, like, the snakes seem to be really attracted to J-Lo. Like, I don't know, like, maybe J-Lo's letting off some pheromones that are attracting these snakes. I don't...
She's got to quit flashing the proverbial light here.
She's flashing the light hard.
Yeah.
Or they just really like her new fragrance. I don't know. Uh-huh. Well, this is way before then. But at some point, Carrie gets knocked in to the water, to which her rhyming counterpart Gary cannot stand to see his lover struggling in the Amazon, jumps in to save her, but alas, he is taken into the snake's clutches.
Thank God. Yeah. Good riddance to Gary Barry.
He deserved it, but nobody deserved to see the CGI that happens afterwards, because, like, take the eight-legged freak's, like, drywall imprint, but, like, scale down the technology a few years, and that's what you get, is, like, an imprint in the snake's belly of a face, and...
Oh, yeah.
It real bad.
It's really bad, yeah.
I know, like, they spent a fuck ton of money on this, but like it did not stand up well.
No, I love too that like he's getting taken under the water and Carrie's like on the boat like Gary, you know, like screaming or whatever, and then we get one last shot of Owen Wilson like coming up again before he goes under, and he's like, oh, like he's like still alive. It's like, did I need that? No, I did not.
No, you didn't. I will say, like, the shots where they used an animatronic snake hold up all right, and you can tell the difference.
Yes, you can. For sure.
For sure. That's why, like, I know people were like, when CGI was becoming a thing, we're like, let's hop on this, but, like, it was smarter to wait.
Like, please, for the love of God, use a practical effect whenever necessary, please.
Yeah, like, I haven't, like, rewatched Lord of the Rings, but I'm sort of worried that some of that's, like, not gonna...
Oh, probably. I'm sure it's not as great.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in several years.
Me neither.
But I'm sure, like, they did a lot practically, so some of it may have, but I'm sure some of it is just real bad.
Yeah.
Back to this movie. They're like, what the fuck are we gonna do with this crazy motherfucker on board? Mm-hmm. Like, how are we gonna remedy this? Their plan is, let's send J-Lo up to seduce him, because she's flashing those lights.
Yep.
And she does this whole bit about, like, this was supposed to be my big break, and maybe if I could, you know, shoot you catching the snake, and it wouldn't be for naught, you know?
She's like, you need to be here to protect us. And she's, like, getting closer to him, and it's like, oh, God.
Yeah, like, if they proposed this plan, they're like, we want you to seduce him, I'd be like, fuck no!
I'd rather get eaten by a giant snake.
And John Voight is like, it has been a while since I've been with a woman.
Yucky.
Like, he has this, like, horrible, like, slick back hair in this film. He's so gross.
He is gross.
Very gross.
And he has that look on his face, like, with his eye.
Yeah.
Like, oh, something's wrong with his eye the whole time.
He does have kind of, like, you know, a piratey, like, look.
That's why we need Nick Cage in this role, so we can, like, just eyeball it out.
Yeah. But this was all a setup, because, you know, Ice Cube comes in, and, you know, John Voight is like, ha-ha, did you think that it was, you know, I would fall for this shit? To which British dude finally, like, grew some balls and, like, hits him on the head.
Yeah.
He
gets a pretty bad head wound, too.
Yeah.
I was like, Jake said, I don't know much about head wounds, but I'm pretty sure he would have bled out.
Yeah.
And I was like, maybe, dude.
I mean, but this movie doesn't follow medical logic, because Kale would have definitely died of an infection by now. Like, I know they like keep going in, and she's like, just hang in there, baby. And I'm like, he would have, like, gangrene on his neck. Like,
ooh,
it'd be bad. It would not. Yeah. Mm-mm.
Gross.
Yes. So the next day, they get to a waterfall.
De waterfall.
See waterfall. And I don't know why, but, like, at this point, like, British dude had been driving the boat, and then he was like, Ice Cube, it's time for you to take over.
I was like, wait a minute, is everybody just qualified to drive these boats?
Right, well, I mean, it gives you the impression that Ice Cube hasn't driven a boat, because the guy's like, you just do this and the red button does that.
Right.
And I'm like, why switch up who's been, like, manning the boat? If you've been doing a good job, why not keep at it? Like,
right.
Because they, like, immediately hit land.
Yep.
And then, you know, they're like, all right, let's get in the water. We gotta put some ropes. And they're like, but fuck, there's anacondas out there. Oh, no. And
right.
The British guy says, last time I was in water like this, I was up all night picking leeches off my scrotum.
Oh, fucking hell. Gross.
The mental image there.
Also, how many of them could there possibly be? Does he have a massive scrotum and he's just, like, picking leeches off all night?
Huge nutsack.
I'm just picturing, like, a plate, dinner plate size scrotum. And many very small leeches.
Oh, gross. Thanks for that mental image.
Yeah.
We then get a murder attempt gone wrong from Carrie, who goes up to John Voight and is, you know, like, has a knife and is gonna stab him, presumably as revenge for Gary's death.
Yep.
And he is like, never look the people you kill in the eye. They will haunt, you forever. And then, like, I'm pretty sure he, like, grabs her by his legs and chokes her.
He's sitting down, and she's, like, standing over him with the knife. And in a split second, he goes from seated to jumping up and grabbing her around the throat. So he jumps up to chest level on her, grabs her around the throat with his thighs, and then chokes him. And the only person who I want to be crushed by their thighs in such a way is Henry Cavill. Henry Cavill can murder me in such a fashion any day of the week. But John Voight, absolutely not.
That's the heat, real fit for an old man. Maybe J-Lo missed out on a fun time.
You never know. You never know with this one.
As he chokes her, he says, bye-bye, baby bird.
Yeah, why does he call her that?
I don't know why he calls her baby bird.
I thought maybe it was a reference I missed or something.
It's like he starts doing it like as soon as he gets on the ship. And it's just, I don't know.
And isn't he saying like prayers or something when he's strangling her?
They really, like, towards the end of the movie, they really like double down on the, like, I was gonna be a priest, but I wasn't.
I think in editing they realized this backstory didn't work, and so they cut most of it out, but some shots he just can't get away from it.
Yeah, because he's, like, you know, doing some Latin prayers, and it was like, you know, like, while he's killing her, he's like, Father, forgive me, because I'm sinning, as we speak.
I'm currently sinning! I'm doing it!
I'm doing the sin!
Oh my god.
Also, like, earlier in the movie, he has a line that's like, there is a devil inside all of us. It's real bad. But yeah, we get this half-assed priest bit. But other people are still in the water when suddenly, Anaconda Showdown 2!
They have arrived.
They have arrived. And they're all, like, really trying to get to the boat. Ice Cube and J-Lo manage it. British dude, on the other hand, is like, you know what? Instead of the boat, I'm going to climb this goddamn waterfall. That seems like a better option.
Well, Ice Cube is like, go up the rocks. He's, like, yelling at him. I was like, why?
Maybe he maybe Ice Cube just wanted to see him dead at this point. Let's be honest.
Yeah, what? He's like, go up the rocks. Go. Oh, no.
I didn't see the anaconda in the tree.
Like, don't worry, snakes don't have feet.
We also get, like, John Voight showdown on the boat while, like, Anaconda showdown is happening. Yeah. There's a lot going on in this scene. Like, you know, Westeridge is, like, hiding in a cave. I think he should have just stayed in the cave, but then he was like, I'm gonna jump off this waterfall, because
I mean, there was really no other option at that point.
I mean, like, even if the anaconda didn't get him, he's gonna, like, break his spine on some rocks. Like, he's dead no matter what.
Yeah. It was just to get the cool shot of the anaconda going, aah! And then catching him, like, mid-fall.
That was great. Can you do another take of that screech?
Oh, me?
Yeah. I was getting that for if we need it later. Oh god,
somebody supercut all the bad snake screeches that are in this episode and send it to us,
please. Do I'd fucking love that.
Oh Jesus.
But while we're having John Voight's showdown, Kale is alive for the 5 minutes he's needed.
Like, Jake was like, oh, look, he's all better. I was like, I guess.
Yeah, like, he's totally fine. He's recovered from his anaphylaxis that wasn't treated with anything and didn't get an infection with that trach tube. Mm-hmm. and is only conscious for like all of like 2 minutes to knock out John Voight and then just loses consciousness again. That's,
yep.
That's how that works.
And John Voight full on like pushes on his still open tracheotomy like area.
Yeah.
And I was like, that would fuck you up, dude. It like, really I mean, would. He does get soaked in blood, but like, ooh, that would be real bad.
It would be bad. So where are we now?
Who cares?
let's wrap this.
We're getting to the end of this movie, thank God.
I know. Eventually, does Ice Cube shoot the snake? Like, the first snake?
I don't remember how the first snake goes down, to be honest. All I remember is, like, they had their showdown with John Voight on the boat. And by the way, I'm saying all I remember, I watched this movie an hour ago. So
right. No, I also did. Granted, but I'm, then, like, a little hungover today, so, like...
Yeah, well, I'm not, and they end up, like, at the, all I can think is, like, Olmec, like, Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Like, no, it is, like, I...
Silver Snakes versus the
Silver
Green
Snakes
Monkeys,
versus
or whatever.
Green Monkeys, yeah. The Red Iguanas.
I don't remember
Purple
what
Panthers?
They were.
That seems like
some shit. I don't know.
Some shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was waiting for like the Olmec to scroll down. It also, it's like it does have like, you know, the like Heart of Darkness temple vibes as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, we got, I guess it's like an abandoned mill. I
said to Jacob, I was like, who was here? Because this is not the indigenous people.
It
so...
looks like a, I think it might be like a lumber mill. That's what it, because there, I remember seeing some logs.
I don't know.
It's definitely not the indigenous peoples.
It's something they had on the grounds of the LA, how do you say this word? Is it arboretum or arboratorium, whatever, where they filmed part of this movie? That's what it is. Don't
not
think
there,
about why
like
it's
that,
there.
That'll do.
Yeah.
So J-Lo and Ice Cube have entered this place. Pedal back. Kale in his 2 minutes of consciousness managed to stab John Voight with the reptile tranquilizer.
Yes.
He falls in the water, and Ice Cube is like, damn, it came out of his back, which is important. Because while they're looking for fuel in Legends of the Hidden Temple, unfortunately, there's, what were the, like, the
guys
guards?
That used to catch you?
Yeah. I think they were just the temple guards, like...
I feel like they had a name, but I don't remember what it was.
They probably had some awful name.
Oh, surely, yes.
Yeah. That game show probably does not stand the test of time if I were to rewatch
it
now.
No, it does not.
Anyway, Cerrone is back. He hits him in the head with the back of a gun, ties him up.
Oh, I love this, too, because we see Cerrone, he, like, we cut away from the shot of him, like, bashing them with the gun, and then we cut to another shot where he's fully dry, he's had time to, like, tie them both up, and they're still knocked out. I was like, they would have severe brain damage. If you're unconscious for more than, like, a couple seconds, it's not good.
It's bad, yeah.
And he somehow managed to knock both of them out in one jab.
Yeah. It was like a domino effect. Like, you know, one
I guess.
Hit the skull of another. I don't know. So they're tied up. He splashes some monkey blood on them.
Ooh.
Which is like jelly and juice.
It's gross.
It's gross looking. But... you know, he's like, I'm going to lure my snake baby. Snake baby comes, but is actually after Mr. Cerrone, after he puts it in a net and pisses it off.
Right.
Which I was like, ha ha. We get a shot of John Voight being eaten by the anaconda from the perspective of inside the anaconda. What were your thoughts on this? Was this necessary to you? Because it wasn't to me.
I liked it, but I was like, is this like a shot from like inside the vagina for someone who's like performing oral sex on someone? As someone who doesn't sleep with women, I was just like, oh, that's a vagina. Like, whenever vagina. I was like, oh, God. It's like reverse birth.
It doesn't really look like that when you're giving oral sex to a lady, BT Dubs. But
you don't know what it looks like from inside her vagina.
I don't know what it looks like from inside her vagina. Maybe I should get a scope and put one up.
Please
there.
Do. Be like, listen, okay, hold still. I have a speculum. Don't panic. Like,
all right, I'm crank it open.
Oh shit.
Fuck.
What did you think about it, the shot?
I was like, okay. Like, yeah. At this point, I was like, why? Just fucking end it. Like, just eat them, please.
Right, yeah.
Again, like, Snake is going after J-Lo because she's apparently Snake Mistress.
Right.
And they decide that they're gonna, like, lead the snake up the smokestack and then blow up this place.
Right.
But not before the snake gets to J-Lo, regurgitates John Voight, who winks at her.
He's fully, and, like, all fucked up and also covered in digestive acid and just, like, bing, bing.
Yeah. It, Jeepers Creepers, the yes,
exactly.
And then, like, we have like an unnecessary like suspense sequence where it's like doo 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 doo. I can't open the door. Doo doo doo.
And he's like, just push it on the other side, you dumb bitch. And she like finally does, and it's not locked. She just is pushing on the hinges instead of the open end. Jesus.
And then we get Fire Snake. I want to say that each time a snake died in this film, I was sad as a child.
I'm sure. I don't doubt that at all.
I was like, I remember being in the theater, but I was like, but the snake babies.
Yeah. Like, no!
No! My warrior snakes!
Yeah.
It takes an absurdly long time to kill this last snake, who not only has to be set on fire, but then, like, hit in the head with an axe by Ice Cube.
Yep, several times.
He's just like, die, bitch!
Yeah. It's like the Michael Myers of snakes.
Yeah. I wish they had, like, cut to a shot of the snake laying there, and then you could, like, cut back and it's gone. That's how they, like,
yeah,
let up for the
sequel. Yeah.
Back on the boat, Dr. Kale has finally regained consciousness for realsies this time.
And he just has a little band-aid around his gaping wound.
His gaping wound. And it's just like, Miss Flores, you're a mess. And she's just like, oh, my love.
Then they make out. Like, that was enough to get you to, like, remove the we're just co-workers pretense? Okay.
Yeah. So then, like, they're chilling out on the deck. You know, he's, like, tending to his wound, which is fine and completely healed now and not infected or anything.
Right.
It's good. And then they see the Lost Tribe.
The Shirishama.
And then we get some, like, that was our adventure music. So it's like,
I love how they see the indigenous people. And they're like, get the camera.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're going to make a documentary out of one shot?
Right.
Like, you have one shot with these people.
Yeah, I mean, it's supposed to be like, oh, it wasn't for naught. They still found the Lost Tribe, and that's problematic in and of itself, but whatever.
And they have to zoom in, of course, and be like, look, the women have breasts!
Right.
And it's like, oh my God.
It is, like, it's bad.
Yeah.
It's I don't think I've ever seen a good depiction of indigenous people in films.
Not ones made by these
people. Not
Lost Tribe narratives.
Not Lost Tribe narratives, for sure.
Yeah.
They are out there, but, like, as far as just, like, a blockbuster movie, like, I don't know. Bad representation.
There was one a few years ago that had, like, Jeremy Renner in it. I don't remember what it's called. Oh, it's called Wind River. It's about an actual, like, reservation.
Okay.
And it's actually quite a good movie with John Bernthal in it, who is just...
I'll check it out.
Damn, but the, I was watching it and I was like, oh, these are some actual, like, indigenous actors and stuff, but I didn't recognize the, person who plays the main character. Yeah, that's because she's fucking Chinese. Like, you found all these other indigenous actors, but you couldn't cast the main role. You had one fucking job. Anyway.
Yeah. Still need to make some strides there. Yes. Anyway, we have our music and we're done with this film. Thank God. Final thoughts, Hallie?
The only thing that we did not mention that I want to mention is that whoever is in charge of the sound design for this movie really fucked up. Like, I don't know if you noticed, but so much of this movie, specifically of Carrie's lines, fully ADR'd. Like, a lot of the dialogue is not synced correctly, and then the Foley work is really bad, and, like, the, like, punch sounds are, like, they might as well be going, punch, punch, like, into a microphone.
Yeah.
It's terrible. So then I looked it up, and the sound editor was also the sound editor for The Hurt Locker? I was like, okay. Academy Award-winning film? Again, how do these people do so well in other movies, and then they're on this, and it's like, ooh. Like, were they all high or something? I don't know. But
I don't know. They just,
it's a bad, real bad movie.
What are we going to rate it out of?
Animatronic snakes, river fish, wild boars, bad accents. There's so many things we could rate.
I feel like animatronic snakes could come up later at some point. So let's go with scrotum fish.
Scrotum leeches.
Scrotum leeches, yes. I give this one 2 scrotum leeches.
Yeah.
That is only for Mateo.
Yeah, I will also give it 2, 1 for each of J-Lo's nipples. Or ass cheeks. But I can't go 4, so we gotta pick it.
It's like, are you like a tits or ass lover?
Which one? Well, it could really be either one. Right.
It'd be ass cheeks for me.
I was like, does she have pads? Is she wearing ass pads? Because... she's not, but, like, I never realized, I guess, like, how thick she is on the bottom half until this movie. And she's very small, like, small-waisted. Mm-hmm. I was like, holy shit, is this real? Like, is this your real butt? But I think it really is. This is only her second movie, so I don't think she made $1 million off Selena, so, but I don't know if she would have had the money for all the, you know, I don't know how much work she has actually had done.
I don't keep up with that type of shit.
No, I looked up pictures of her now, and she looks pretty similar.
Yeah.
Except, I mean, she had her teeth done.
Right.
But, like, because they're slightly crooked here, but other than that, she looks exactly the same.
Yeah, this was real bad.
Real bad.
Real bad. This one lived up to our podcast tagline. Well, did it? Because I don't think it was good. Anyway.
I don't know. I really resent that I had to watch this movie twice in a 12-month span after having not seen it for 20 years.
Look, I watched it twice in, like, a couple days. Like,
ooh,
yeah, like, yucky. This morning I was just like... I was more hungover than I am now, and I was just laying on my couch like, oh, fuck, this is the only way to watch it a second time, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, what are we watching next week, Hallie?
Next week, we are watching Slither.
That's sweet.
Yeah, love it. Have you seen it before?
It's been a moment.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in a while either, but I'm excited.
All right, so your homework for next week is to watch Slither. go give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcast, or we're gonna come
send Olmec after you.
Send Olmec after you. Or just haunt you with our screeches from this podcast. For my fucking thunderclap. They really do help people find the podcast and ensure that we keep making these for you guys if you enjoy it. Also, like, let us know if you like the unscripted route we're going. I'm having a lot of fun with it, so I might just fucking
I was gonna say, maybe don't, because I really don't give a fuck if you don't.
Actually, I don't give a shit. I'm just gonna do whatever I want. But it would be nice to be like, have people be like, we like it.
Right.
But yeah, check us out on Instagram at Sass versus Evil Dead. We also have a website, which is sassversusevildead.com. That's VS for versus. We update it when we can.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. But until next time, remember that slaughter is the best medicine, and stay spooky, my friends. Bye.
Bye! Oh, shit.
This podcast was like 10 times better than that fucking film.
Oh, easily.
I'm gonna stop it now.